Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Reverend James of FolksHunter.com in North Carolina, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and ConjureMan of ConjureManConsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we welcome a special guest, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska, bringing us today's topic on successful prayers. They will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of voodoo, conjurer, root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood and ConjureMan. Miss Kat?
Hi. Hello, James. Catch me up on what's going on in your world before I catch you up on mine.
Well, for me, it's a lot of doing some personal things. You know, the weather's warming up. We're finally able to open up the doors really well and air out the house and do some cleaning that's, you know, like the baseboards and things. And along with that, we're also putting a specific spot in the house for a shrine room. So that's going to have all of our shrines and things to different deities all in one room so that we can, you know, worship and practice all in that one room without having to worry about animals knocking things over or getting it offerings and such. So I'm excited about that.
That's wonderful. From the shrine room to the detached chapel that comes next. And then if you're like John St. Germain, you'll end up with the triple barn of shrines. All right. Well, things here in Forestville are cooking along. I've been down with a cold, and I'm still have a tiny little bit of a tickle in my throat, a little bit of a cough, but it was one of those runny nose things that went on forever, and I just laid low for a few days, but I'm feeling fine now. It's only the second cold I've had since COVID hit the field, and I've never gotten COVID. So for some reason, COVID restrictions on contact kind of reduced my number of colds. Gee, you think there's a connection there? Maybe? And I got this one, not naming any names, but a customer came into the shop and asked me to hug them. I hugged them. I got the cold. So I'm just saying. So I've been out of it a little bit, making goofer dust. Of course, as soon as you have a cold, the thing to do is to make goofer dust. That will clear out your sinuses.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What with the red pepper, the black pepper, the graveyard dirt, the snake sheds, the spider webs, the vandal root. My gosh, that was pretty good. I usually make a big jar of it all at once, and so that's what I did. And that's about it for me. Like I said, I was just sort of laying low a little bit. But I do have some announcements for today, and this is a lot of announcements because we had some winners of contests that then we didn't have shows. We had a rebroadcast, and then we had Blog Talk Radio go down, and we skipped a show, and then I was away, and one thing and another. So if you've entered any of our contests, this is going to be of extreme interest to you. If you haven't entered any of our contests, I announce winners every week. Why aren't you a winner? Because you haven't entered a contest, right? So here we go. We had one winner on March 29th, 2024, Megan Elise Kedge, and she won the hardcover special, consisting of one hardcover edition of Hoodoo Urban Root Magic by Catherine Ironwood, that's me, and one hardcover edition of Trolldom by Johannes Gardbach. She already sent in her mailing address, and she's taken care of. But I'm going to put a little asterisk on that. Ask me about Johannes Gardbeck later. Well, no, I'll just give you a... He and I are working on a new project. That's it. No more hints. No more clues. Okay. On April 5th, we had 8 lucky winners of a Money Herbs and Spices Mixture Pack. So each person won a package of the Money Herbs, and they were David Worsley, Sarah K. Quinnon, Karen S. Archer, Alan Smithy. Oh, my gosh, Alan Smithy. Hi, Alan. I know him real well. Whitney Bell, Aries Phoenix, Marla Kotsaradis, and Isaac Camacho, who I think I also know pretty well.
It was Maria.
It's Maria. I'm sorry. Maria Kotsaradis. Okay, sorry. And we still need to hear back from Isaac Camacho and Sarah K. Quinnon with their addresses. So if you guys are listening or if anybody of you know them, get a hold of them and tell them, hey, claim your prize. It's free. Okay, then this last week, Hoodoo Psychics gave away a prize for a free reading on Hoodoo Psychics, live reading with the psychic of your choice worth $60. On April 10th, the winner was Erica Morris Kayer, or maybe Kayer, but let's call it Kayer, was the winner. Contact Hoodoo Psychics, not me, and claim your free $60 reading. Okay, last but not least, this week we had 6 lucky winners for April 12th, and each of them won a bottle of Lady Luck Oil, which was given away in honor of the passing of my dear friend Trina Robbins, who was a famous underground cartoonist, also clothing designer, also art historian. And she and I collaborated on a book called Women in the Comics, and I also edited and published a bunch of her comics for Eclipse Comics back in the day. And I'm so sad to lose her, a good person, a good friend. But among her many, many other talents, she designed the label for Lady Luck Oil. She loved World War II, and Lady Luck was a World War II emblem. And also her cat, Osiris, donated black cat hair to Lucky Mojo for pretty much the entirety of his life. So, hail and farewell to Trina Robbins. And our 6 lucky winners of a bottle of Lady Luck Oil are Lisa Decker, Jan L. Dara, Heather Domnail, Oleana Tanya, Nancy Sakura Strain, and Lauren Cummings Gentry. Oof. And you can look for our messages from the Lucky Mojo page to you to advise you. You've won. This just went out. All new. And congratulations. Contact the Lucky Mojo Facebook page if you are an unclaimed winner or if you haven't yet been told until now that you're a winner. And we just need your email address for shipping purposes. We will not need anything more. We don't need your credit card. We don't need your mother's maiden name. Beware of spoofers and scammers and slammers and spammers who try to use contests all over Facebook, ours included, to get your Social Security number or your credit card number. Do not give it up. Okay. Everything is free, and all we need is your mailing address. All right, everybody. Thanks for participating in our contests, and we'll have another announcement next week. And we will be carrying the Hoodoo Psychics announcements from now on. We sponsor them, and they sponsor us. It's kind of a friendship thing. And so we want to make sure that everybody who enters their contest, which is held on Mondays, gets their free readings. All right. How about you, Ollie? That was it for me.
Well, glad to be back. Congratulations to all the wonderful list of the winners. And I'm very happy to hear that you're doing better. We had a little worried there for a second. I think I'm in the same boat as you. Thanks to the lockdown, you know, we've basically eliminated one strain of the cold or something like that. So it's one of those instances where now that we're all back and around, colds and flus are sort of running amok again, despite our couple year, I'll say, of respite that we have there. So glad that you're on the mend. I'm doing quite well. Very busy month for me already. April is hectic. For those that are astrologically inclined, we had our solar eclipse, which was very exciting, and I had friends that were what was in the actual path of the solar eclipse. You could see the totality of it, and the pictures that came out were just so stunning. And if I'm not mistaken, I think we're not going to see another one like this until 2045 or something like that. So this is one of those like very rare occurrences where we get to see this really cool totality. I think the last one was in 2018, so it wasn't too far in the past, but the next one won't be for quite some time. So if you missed it, hold out for a couple of decades before you'll see it again. But it's been an interesting and very chaotic month, if I can say that. It seems like, you know, we say this all the time, but there's certain months where like thousands of years happen in that one month. And there's so much going on in April. I honestly can't even believe that I'm saying that we're in April. I still feel like 2024 just got started. I feel like my mind is still in January. I don't know about you, Kat, but my mind is very much still in January.
Yeah, I'm in March, yeah.
You're in the last month. So, like, we're all working behind. The time is just so weird. I wonder if the pandemic plays a role in that. Like, I think lockdown might have shifted or altered it or our sense of time a little bit. Because I feel like ever since then, we've been talking about how either the years last forever, like you feel like 100 years have passed within a year, or they move so quickly. I mean, like, I'm still playing a little bit of catch up with some projects that I have. So April, I mean, being halfway through April is not something I anticipated. But here we are. We're looking summer dead in the face very, very soon.
Well, this news just in the chat, and folks, if you don't join the live chat on these shows, you're missing something a lot of fun. We've got a bunch of people in chat, and one of them who's often with us is Hey Maganda. So I'm reading off this list of, I don't know, 15 or more names, and Hey Maganda goes, "Hey, that's me." And Hey Maganda is one of our winners. However, I don't know who Hey Maganda is, and I'm not going to give up her name. But congratulations, Hey Maganda,
cool.
And thanks for being in the chat. But who you are, we don't know. You and it's between you, God, and Nakashiva, okay? You could give me your initials. Now then people could look it up, you see. Well, anyway, that was a trip. All right. So let's – she's laughing in the chat. She's not going to tell me. It's going to – big smileys are all over there. Okay. Well, she did put out some initials, but I don't know if those are any initials I can find here. I don't think so. Nope. Didn't find them. Okay. So let's bring in our guest, Papa Newt. It's been, you know, all of 5 days since I talked to you, Papa Newt.
Yeah.
At the tech team meeting. So how are things in your world?
Welcome. You know, pretty good. Thank you. It's pretty good over here. Just it's April, and anybody that knows me, and especially this coming week, Friday is the Feast of Saint Expedite, so I always set up a special altar dedication to Saint Expedite and always encourage people to send and submit petitions. And so trying to get that finalized and prepared, and just so many other little projects that all I've got going on.
Well, I have to say that working on the tech team with you every week is just a real pleasure. And lately, the tech team at AIR has consisted of the three of us, Papa Newt, Nakashiva, Ironwood, and me. And we always would love more people to join the tech team, but that doesn't always happen. And we have planned out, and we've been working really hard to get great content up at AIR and also get credits for all the people who worked on them. People who worked on the AIR pages back in the past, they didn't get credited. I don't know why. We all just thought, what the heck, We'll just have them be perfectly anonymous like Wikipedia. But as time went on, you know, we realized some people were putting in a lot of effort, and they are getting their names on those pages with the link to where they are in AIR. So if you read an AIR page that has no credits, you can always jump on over to Lucky Mojo, and there's a thing called dead pages, dead links, corrections. Just put in a post saying, oh, you know, that page on such and such doesn't have any credits, and we'll do it. We can't find them all because there's hundreds of them. Mm-hmm. But we're trying to, every week or two, we add some credits. But anyway, thank you so much, Papa Newt. You've been a great, great help.
And
all right.
I'm looking forward to our next one coming up Tuesday. It's going to be very stable.
Yeah. It's going to be good. So now we do have a topic. And this is a topic that is near and dear to my heart and to Papa Newt's. And the topic is how to do prayer that actually will work. Now, what I mean by work, prayer is done for many reasons. One reason to pray is just simply to praise the deity, offer thanks, is another to show gratitude. And another reason, third reason to pray is to pray for an effective outcome. Mm-hmm. And this is why many people pray. Some people don't ever pray for an effective outcome. They only pray and say things like, you know, grace over food or something like that. But when you pray for an effective outcome, there are some folkloric traditions that can help you with more effective prayer. Okay? So I'm going to outline just a few of them, and then we're going to have Papa Newt talk about it. First of all, ask yourself, is what you want out of the magical spell you're about to cast a request, or does it contain a request, or is it a command? In other words, if you're doing a fuck that bitch to hell spell, you usually wouldn't be praying to anybody. You're using your own power. If you are praying to someone, it would presumably be a demonic spirit or something of that nature. So the next question is, are you addressing a prayer at all? And if you are, to whom are you addressing it? Now, some people say you can only pray to God or to the saints or to the angels or so forth. And in some cultures that is true, and in other cultures it's not true. So we don't tell you what culture to be born in. You already did that. So whatever the prayers of your culture are, you should familiarize yourself with them. When you go to call a reader, someone such as me, and I'm going to tell you I'd like you to do some prayers, I don't usually just say, I want you to pray this way or do that way. That's not my job. But I will usually ask you, do you have a religion or were you born into one? And if they say, nope, born into an atheist family, grew up atheist, I won't bother talking about how to pray because it's just not on their program. But if they say, well, I was born in the such and such religion, I'll quickly go through my Rolodex of all the religions of the world and ancient history, and I will go, oh, yeah, deity pantheon, deity associated with the cause. And I'll say, well, you know, this might be the deity you might want to work with. Sometimes they'll tell me, oh, no, that's so old-fashioned. And you'll know that Kat read the 1911 Britannica, and that's, you know, haven't caught up to date. but I asked them, is there a deity or a saint or whatever that you would want to pray to? Some of them only want to pray out of the Bible and or their own holy book, the Quran, or whatever it may be. And I will say, well, I know in your culture there will be a prayer out of your holy book, your sacred text, and you can pray that. Now, that doesn't talk about how effective that is going to be. This is simply getting them to the right bus line, if you know what I mean. It doesn't put them on the bus. It doesn't tell them how much of a fee to pay, but it shows them your bus leaves from that station. Right? Now, when they get on that bus, there's going to be, according to what their religion is, there's going to be perhaps a fee to pay, perhaps no fee to pay, perhaps words of praise to be spoken first before the prayer, and sometimes there are no words to be spoken first, but just simply saying, as a child of name of deity, please grant me my wish, whatever it may be. It helps if you're a reader and you pray, to become familiar with how other people pray. Never try to impose your belief on another, and you know, and be frank about who you are. I often say to people, well, you know, I recognize you're a Baptist. Oh, I have a lot of Baptist friends, and I've spent time in the Baptist church. But, you know, I was born a Jew, and so I'm more familiar with the Psalms than with the New Testament, but I can give you some good Psalms to work with. And most Baptists will accept that. They don't need you to read from the second book of Timothy to them. Some would prefer you do, and then you can direct them to a person who is real familiar with that. So match up your cultural background with the client, get them going, and then you're going to find that most clients don't know what to do next at all. So now you got to get on the bus with them a little bit, and you got to say, okay, to the bus driver. So your bus accepts offerings of oranges. And they go, oh, yeah, my grandmother did that. Or your bus accepts money to be put in the box for the poor, for St. Anthony, or at Sadaka box. Oh, yeah, my grandmother did that. Right? So you have to kind of know how they're going to pay for their ride, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And some, you know, oh, your saint only accepts flowers as far as I know, whatever it may be. And then you say, okay, good luck. You get off the bus and the bus takes off with them because the prayer is going to be theirs. Now, they may ask you, how do I pray? All right, you can give them a printed prayer and that would help them. That's my intro to this subject. Now I'm going to turn this over to Papa Newt.
Yes, prayer is to me and for me throughout my own upbringing, being raised in a Roman Catholic tradition, but also having my own challenges with the church and exploring, trying to figure my own spiritual path out. You know, it's been still one of those things that have been very fascinating to me. And part of bringing up this topic was to kind of help aid us to find some generalities that I find very common for those that are looking to pray. There's something going on in their life or they just want to deepen their connection to whatever deity or divinity that they follow. And it's one of those things with prayer that one of the biggest things that whatever you pray, however you go about it, I always want people to encourage to take some moments of taking a couple deep breaths, being still, getting into that state of mindfulness of what it is that you're doing, why it is that you're doing, what are we looking for the outcome, and also just to, lack of a better term, get into the flow of that which we are doing. The breath is one of those important aspects that I find very common in so many spiritual traditions, that not only the deepening of the breath just to relax ourselves, especially in times of extreme stress and challenges, but also to utilize the breath in toning the words that we are speaking, to put that forth into not only linking to divinity, whatever you call it, or to your saints, but to also kind of start to impregnate your field, if you will, your energy field to start to make movement within your life. And I'm starting to get a little too deep into some other aspects. But it is okay for those that start to, who were brought up in a spiritual tradition and that got into some challenges or some hurts, to know that you know, that is some stuff to work through, but don't let that get in the way of your prayers or finding your flow, your way of connecting and expressing yourself here with spirit, with those aspects. Just know that even if you want to say a psalm, just know that there are hundreds of thousands of people that utilize these words and said these words to create change in their life, that there is this flow within these words that you're going to tap into that does not bring all the excess baggage that you have experienced to help things flow smoother.
That's really good advice. I talk often to people who were raised in a religion that but also had abusive family, or there were abusive clergy, and they are very, very confused, and they do well to be given a kind of a calming message, you know. What can we say? Conjurman, tell me how you work with people. And, oh, actually, Conjurman, there's a question here that might be you could answer. So Angela L., and I know you're not watching the chat, so I'm going to bring this up to you. Angela L. asked, now I've got to go back, where was it? Oh, no. Hold on. I'm just going to type it in here. Angela L. asked, for those who don't have religion, God, etc., can they pray, and pray in quotes, or call upon universal energies?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'll answer both. The answer is yes. Generally, it's easier to pray when you feel like you're speaking to an intelligence, whether that's spirit or entity or ancestor, saint, God, angel, etc. But you can ask. There's a whole new thought tradition that has emerged from asking the universe, in which you ask the universe for something and the universe will respond. The sort of cosmic, and there's even traditions like Dyer's tradition of the source, in which he's not talking about God, he's not talking about angels, he's not talking about religion per se, but some sort of energy source that exists at the heart of the cosmos and asking that. So yeah, prayer does exist in non-religious contexts, and there are people who have found solace in prayer, even if they themselves are not religious or in a religion or even believe in a God. The act of prayer itself can be emotionally satisfying. There's like whole studies that talk about the effect of prayer for people who are dealing with illnesses in hospitals. I when it comes to teaching people how to pray, and this is important because a lot of people don't actually know how to pray. Even if they're raised in a religious tradition, there's a sort of disconnect because they don't understand what prayer is. So what do I say is what I often hear. And I think partly that's because they've been sort of grown up in the post-D&D world where they think everything is an incantation, D&D in Hollywood, right? And it's true that the words matter. So there's a reason why people use the Psalms. There's a reason why people use the Surahs. There's a reason why people use orations. These are words that have resonated down the centuries. They're efficacious. They have an effect because people have used them over and over again. But it is as equally important to understand what you're doing in your heart when it comes to prayer, because you may not even say words. So I grew up in the Virginia, where in Virginian conjured, you do have quite a bit of speaking in tongues. And so sometimes they're not actually vocalizing words. They're making sounds, but the prayer is coming from this heart and the soul. And it still conveys what they desire and want and what they're asking for, even if they're not, say, vocalizing it in intelligible words. They're speaking in tongues of that. And this is incredibly important. The act of prayer is handing over something to that which is greater than you, whether that's God, whether that's the saints, whether that's angels, whatever it is the acceptance that there is a force that exists that is beyond you, that is more powerful than you, that has the capacity to work miracles. And so it requires just a hint of trust and just a hint of faith. You don't need to have unshakable faith, though it helps if you do. Your prayers will probably be answered more quickly if you do. But you just need an iota of it. Just you have to suspend your skeptical mind, the rational mind, just long enough for you to, in your heart, say, something exists outside of myself, and that thing is capable of miracles. I hand this situation over to it, whatever it is. I ask that I be helped in matters of health. I ask for wealth. Whatever you're asking for, it is that willingness to say that this force that exists outside of me, God, the source, etc., can resolve this matter. And when you reach that state of trust, where you're sort of taking that leap, that you're willing to put forth not just the superficial words, not just the form of the thing you're saying, but the spiritual act of handing it over, that's when your prayers will be answered. That's when you'll see God come through. That's when you'll see the Creator come through. That's when you see the angels take flight and respond to what you're asking for. The ability for you to, in your heart, go, I hand this over. There's an element of handing it over and just walking away in a state of trust. That is crucial, and it takes time for people to learn that skill. It takes time for people to understand their skill. And so I actually teach people to ask and pray for things that you already know are going to happen, that you already know are going your way, so that it can help you cultivate that sense. So one of the things that we do with clients is that when clients know that a raise is coming their way, when they know that they're going to get a raise because the company has said we're going to give raises to everybody, then what I teach them is to do prayers of thanks for that raise and pray for the raise to be a little bit higher. This gets them in a place where they are already going to be rewarded. The prayer has already technically been answered. The raise is on its way. They're going to get it in the next paycheck. But they're able to cultivate and understand that feeling of confidence, that feeling of trust. And I get them to do that a few times. Pray for things that you already know are coming your way. And then start to pray for things that you seek and desire. And cultivate that same sense of trust. And that really works for clients.
That's a really interesting technique. Mm-hmm. I have never thought of that. Mm. It's kind of like warm-up pitches or something.
Well, because a lot of these, and it comes again to this idea, like I don't have to tell someone who's grown up in the Baptist tradition who knows how to pray to do that because they already understand the prayer. But for a lot of moderns who are disconnected from spirituality and religion, these warm-up prayers really help them. They need something to cultivate that internal state because they are quite disconnected from it. They don't understand what prayer is.
It's a really interesting idea. I want to say something about ex voto prayers, which are my favorite, I guess. In studying medieval and Renaissance art history and my own culture, the ex voto prayer is very important and not as well known or distinguished today. Mm-hmm. And the ex voto prayer is something that comes from classical times. You can find them in ancient Greece, evidences of them, and also even in ancient Egypt and ancient Judaism. You pray with a promise, and you say, for instance, if my prayer is granted, I will build a temple here, or I will carve a stone that says my prayer was granted. I will magnify the name of the deity who granted my prayer. And there are a lot of Calvinist Protestants who consider this is like obscene to them because they go, you're trying to bribe God? But if you read the Old Testament, you'll see quite a lot of it going on, where prayer is asked, and when it's granted, there's a hymn of thanksgiving is composed, and people dance around, or a monument is erected, a stone is put up to show on this place this prayer was granted. So at a more mundane level, you know, you're not leading some group of people across the Red Sea or, you know, whatever into battle, but you're just, you know, want to make sure that you make your rent money. The usual form of an ex voto or an offering is to ask the deity or the spirit or saint or whatever it may be, whoever it is you are praying to grant your wish or grant your prayer, and then say, if it is granted, I will do such and such. And so it's a trade prayer, I guess you could call it. I will send money to the poor. I will, you know, send money to somebody's GoFundMe, whatever it would be, you know.
Yeah.
I will place flowers on your altar. Sometimes it has to do with decorating altars. I will burn three sticks of incense in your name in the temple, you know, whatever your religion offers. Mm-hmm. And that is something that many Christians kind of go, whoa, I don't get that. But Catholic Christians still have that classical training, and so do Jews.
Yeah, it's a very ancient practice. We find it in the ancient Near East and the Mediterranean. The idea, it stems from sort of two ideas. One, that you make a pact with the divinity, with God, with whatnot, that they come to you, they give you something, and you give something back. It's a very reciprocal and, frankly, a very honest relationship, right? Like, you do this thing for me, and I'll do this other thing for you. And it stems from, we believe, sort of the oldest traditions come from tutelary spirits, in which you say, you do this thing for me, and I shall take you as my patron saint of whatever, and I will give you flowers for the rest of my life, something like that. And then that's built into the ex voto. But it also has an element of spreading blessings. You have been blessed, and therefore the blessings must continue to spread, so that there isn't this idea of blessings being a scarcity or a thing that only exists for you, which is why many of these ex-voters involve giving something back to others. Lord, help me to make my rent today, and I promise that I will give to charity next month. So the idea being that you were blessed, and therefore you will spread those blessings. You will see this in the hoodoo tradition. Very clearly, if you look at dollar bills, sometimes they have people's initials written on them. Some of those are money seekers, as Ms. Kat has talked about them in the back, where they go and seek out wealth and they bring them back to you. Others of them are simply to spread blessings. So, for example, deacons in church will tell you to write your initials on the money and then give it into a charitable box or a donation box. The idea being that on your name, you are spreading it. You can also do it on behalf of somebody else. Lord, help me to help my son to recover from this illness, and I will spread wealth. And then so the son recovers, and you write your son's initials on the dollar bill or whatnot, and you put that in the donation box. In other words, spreading his blessing to somebody else.
And your vow must be fulfilled, because God doesn't like someone to renege on a debt. And so there is a tradition in the Catholic Church that there are certain saints, not all of them now, mind you, but certain saints who, if you fail to keep your vow, they will kill somebody in your family. And a couple of those are, I believe, Saint Expediti, the charming, lovely Saint Expediti, who everyone just thinks is so cute. Nah, he'll kill somebody in your family, and quick, too. And another one, I believe, is St. Rita, who, if you don't do it, she, you know, if you don't give her offering, she'll knock you back a bit.
St. Martha is also famed for taking something from you, not necessarily killing, but the Lord.
St. Martha will take something from you.
If you don't fulfill, she'll take something.
Well, what I was told about St. Rita when I was young, St. Rita is for women who are being abused by men, and she'll, you know, do whatever you want to put your man in his place. But if you don't pay her off, she will make it you never get another man, too. It's like, okay, St. Rita don't play. So, there are a few of those, not many.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, Catholicism is not a religion of threat, but these are folkloric traditions that we cannot ignore. And another thing that happens that people will do is say, in a more domestic way, that rather than I will erect a large, you know, stone with your name on it, they'll say, I'll get a picture of you and carry it in my wallet, a little holy card, and carry it in my wallet.
Yeah.
That's a good way
or a
medallion. I'll wear this medallion because my fever was cured, and so I'll wear St. Florian medallion or whatever it may be. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's another aspect of prayer.
Can I just name one other? Naming your child. Naming your child after.
Oh, yes.
After the saint. Right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Very old school.
I love that one. Mm-hmm. So there's another aspect of prayer that I'd like to talk about, and hopefully I'd love to hear both of your opinions on this. But there are in anthropology, they talk about prayer as two types of prayer: prayers of power and prayers of pity. And this is, I think, a really interesting conversation, particularly because you find them in the African diasporic traditions, you find it in Hoodoo, you find it in Southern Baptist Christianity, you also find it in folk Catholicism. So prayers of pity are when you call upon God or the divinity to take pity on you. Lord, look how downtrodden I am. Look how difficult. And then this goes right back to the Psalms. You can see it. Look how we suffer. Therefore, take pity upon us. This is involved in certain traditions, for example, in Central Africa, of quite literally inflicting pain on yourself, generally through hot peppers, so that the gods take pity on you. You literally will chew peppers, and as the tears stream down your eyes because they're burning your tongue, you go, Lord, take pity upon me and look upon my suffering. The other approach is known as prayers of power, and that is where you magnify God. Lord, you are the creator of the world. You who split the Red Sea, you who raised the dead, you who can do all things. So there's sort of two different positions. One where you say, God, look how I'm already suffering. Please step forward and help me in this matter. And the other being, God, look how great you are. I know that you can resolve this little pesky matter. For you, it's nothing. For you, it's nothing to solve this illness. And so these two approaches are both incredibly effective, and they speak to how prayer can really raise up the energy, raise up spirit, call down spirit, but also the deep emotive component, emotional component to prayer. Prayer isn't just formal words that are said. There is this ecstatic component, whether it's, whoa, look at me, or look at the greatness of God.
Well, that makes me think, like the, you know, especially to take mercy, you know, a very Catholic thing is to, you know, blessing the enemy. It's like utilizing what Jesus said on the cross, like, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. You know, those little statements. Or I do like that gratitude before moving into something more, which is using like Isaiah 6:3, which is like, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole world is full of his glory. And it's just one of those, and that's really a beautiful thing, especially when it's like early morning or you're seeing just some beautiful in nature or just something beautiful, or just taking that part of praying that over and over before you move on to the next part as well.
And I think that's
I'm sorry.
I was just going to mention that another really good entryway, as Papa Newt was mentioning scriptures there, is to rely on those prayers that are already written for you. And I don't just mean those that are written in the Bible or in your holy text. There are prayers that have been passed down over time within tradition. So, for example, there are various Jewish prayers of blessing that are done, blessings when you're traveling. These are formal prayers that have specific words that are said at specific instances, and you can memorize these prayers, and they act as incredibly useful entryways into learning how to pray. And many traditions have this. You can find it in Hinduism and Buddhism. You can find it in Islam and Catholicism. You can find it in Judaism. These traditions that exist almost outside of the scripture, some of it is scriptural, like recite this verse for that, recite this psalm for that, recite this surah for this. But others are simply oral prayers that have been passed down. So, for example, the shield of St. Michael, sometimes known as the shield of St. Nick, where it's Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ to my right, Christ to my left. And others will say, Michael before me, Michael behind me, Michael to my right, and Michael to my left. That is a formal prayer where you can memorize that and recite it, so that if you're new to prayer, you can get books of prayer. You can find prayers that have been recited in the tradition and culture of your people for thousands of years.
That's a really important thing to understand, that no matter what culture you were born into, unless you've completely divorced yourself from that culture, there will be people from your family or around you in your culture who will know traditional prayers. These can be so specific, like using fava beans for St. Joseph or creating breads in the form of carpentry tools for St. Mm-hmm. Joseph. And that brings to mind, Papa Newt did a beautiful St. Joseph prayer service at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, AIR Hoodoo Heritage Festival. And it was just wonderful to see. And that was followed by another former AIR member doing a prayer service for Ganesha. So you can attend prayer services and see what they are like. We do demonstrations at AIR of different cultures, but you're always welcome at different religious places. You know, you can go to a temple in Japan virtually now. You don't actually have to go there. Just take a virtual tour. Or in China, find out what offerings are given. You can also go in person to places that might be near you. I know when I was young, I went to all of the Catholic and Protestant churches near me, every one of them, one after another, to see what they did, what kind of music was played, and then I settled on my favorite, which was African-American Baptist. That was just the one that had the music I liked the best. and also they weren't quite as harsh as some of the white Baptist hell and fire and brimstone, which was a little shocking to me. I also liked the Catholics, but they had certain requirements. You couldn't take communion if you hadn't made a confession, and you couldn't make a confession if you hadn't been confirmed. And so they had a kind of a long entryway to get in.
Yeah.
I think they've relaxed a lot of that after Vatican II. But when I was young, it was not quite easy to be in a Catholic church if you were not Catholic. But you'd be surprised, you know, going around and seeing what they do. That doesn't mean you have to join those churches. But I'm going to say something else about the value of churches in teaching prayer. You'll learn the kind of prayer that they give, and you'll find that whether it's copacetic with your mental state, you know. Do you like a prayer that includes everyone in the congregation being prayed for, or do you want to have a private personal prayer for yourself? Do you want to pray alone in your own closet, as it says in the Bible, or do you like public prayer? These are things that will go with your personality. I think that learning about prayer is just as wide of a subject as learning about magic. And people like me tend to think of prayer as one of the components of magic. But, of course, some people think of magic as one of the components of religion. And there are other people who think that they are completely, distinctly separate and should never be mixed. So, again, this is not me trying to tell you what to do. But I find that a prayer that where you're asking for something to bless someone else before asking for mountains to be moved is a good introduction, too. Kind of like what Conjurman was saying about the warm-up prayers. Now I'm getting to the Little League prayers, right? So here you're going to be playing with a softball. But, you know, you hear about some buddy trapped in a mine, and it's in the news, and you pray. Let's pray together for that person to be found alive and safe. And start just doing prayers like that, saying prayers for people that you hear about in the news. It won't always work. And, of course, the answer to prayer is not always yes. It can be no. You don't know why. You're just applying for help. But it's not harmful. People make fun of, prayers and blessings, what does that mean? You need to send money. You need to do this. No, prayers and blessings do count. Don't let any fool tell you prayers and blessings don't count. They are usually cynics and atheists. And so when I go into a field of comment field, you know, some YouTube video about some natural disaster, and someone says, oh, prayers and blessings to the people affected by this tragedy, and then some jerk puts, prayers and blessings, nothing. You know, they needed a better dam inspection. You know, it's like, okay, thank you for that sentiment. And then
as
I will always...
These two are so separate from each other.
Exactly.
The dam
and
prayers,
said,
and
prayers and blessings for the dam inspectors, too.
Yes. Right, right. Well, yeah, right. That's actually a really good testimony of how disconnected people can truly be, because you only need to go back a couple decades, and no one would question that the practicality of something like giving money or fixing something and prayers would go hand in hand. It's totally natural that you would pray and you would fix that thing. That the two are not separate from each other, but it really does speak to that. I want to point out that
living your prayer.
Living your prayer, exactly. For people who are starting out, what I find is that it is useful to ground your prayers and prayer work in something physical. So getting yourself, for example, prayer beads, getting yourself a medallion, getting yourself, a candle, getting yourself some type of physical action that goes with the prayer can help people kind of ground themselves and put themselves in the right state of mind to begin praying. You don't always have to do that, but it can be a really good, useful approach. So, for example, lighting a candle before you say your prayers, holding hands with someone. This is why prayer circles sometimes hold hands, right? Or they lay hands on someone, physically touching, right? Or you can get yourself a medallion of the saint, and then you can hold that medallion as you pray, or have prayer beads, or even the Bible itself. It's particularly common to reach out one hand and place it on the Bible and then pray with the other hand lifted, or holding that Bible clutched to your chest is another way that you can pray. So some type of physicality, this is the Taurus in me, right? Some type of physicality, some type of tactile component can really help ground prayers, and it's an entryway into learning how to pray.
Mm-hmm. And one other element too is especially if you're new to just the concept of prayer, one of my favorite things is looking when I'm at a used bookstore, which I was at one today, I'm always on the lookout if there's just these little booklets of prayers. Just doesn't matter what tradition, what practice. It's just you read through them. There's certain patterns you find, some commonalities that can help you to get that deeper understanding. And even if and I know Conrad made a comment about this earlier, if you don't know what to say, speak from the heart. Looking at just the roadmap of chakras, it's a very Eastern concept, but just the idea of chakras, it's very popular in a lot of metaphysical stories. But it's like, you think of the three lower ones as said to resonate with more physical aspects, the three higher ones more of the spiritual, but the heart is the meeting place of both, where the physical yearns to be spirit and the spirit yearns to be physical. If you don't know what else to say, speak from here.
Yeah. In the chat, Shia, whatever, the lady whose name I can't pronounce, said I may be one of the few here who do this, but I prefer to pray proactively before issues. And I'm going to say yes. This reminds me of the deacon's prayer in the Baptist church. The deacon's prayer in the Baptist church is more or less a prayer for all of the congregation without knowing exactly who needs what. And so it will say, there may be someone among us who has a health issue that they've just been told and they're trying to deal with it now. There may be someone in the hospital who couldn't make it to church this day. There may be someone who's thinking about a loved one far away, wondering if they're safe. And you go on and on. I mean, the deacon's prayer can be quite long, and it will then say, it usually calls upon Jesus to help them. Help them get through their day, help them get through their health crisis, help them get in touch with that missing loved one. But it's proactive in that it's not like the deacon isn't like a jukebox that you put in a dime and say, I'd like you to pray number A14 for me. The deacon prays for every possibility usually. There's someone facing a courtroom right now. There's someone in jail who can't make bond. And it can be quite an interesting list, because it will tell a little bit about the congregation, but more about the human condition.
Yeah.
All right.
That's fantastic.
Well, Asha Shaya 13 says, just call me Aya. I will.
And
someday I'm going to learn the name. I'm going to learn the story behind that name.
But for those that, you know, cultivate a spiritual practice or that flow, you know, it's also just taking those times of gratitude, of
yes.
times of focus. I'm, you know, honestly, the idea of offerings, well, you know, the burning of incense and being raised Catholic is something I love, but there was more later, much, much later, where it's brought into the idea of the offerings of spirits of land, spirits of place, spirits of the dead, spirits of, you know, just mm-hmm. just this whole totality of spirits. And it just, honestly, since I have cultivated and brought that into my practice, because being raised Catholic in East Central Nebraska, all we had was All Saints Day, All Souls Day, and Memorial Day. That was really about it. But I have found that to be a very beautiful practice of just, and I do find when I keep that up, how things just seem to flow
mm-hmm.
without needing to ask. Mm-hmm. It's just being that. It's just a common courtesy, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a wonderful way to pray. I was taught to mostly pray when there was need. That was what I was originally taught, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was taught by more atheistic friends that showed the weakness of prayer, that you only ask God for help when you're in trouble, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I went through the Psalms, and I found that there were many Psalms that were prayers, but they are simply prayers of praise. So
yes.
mm-hmm. A prayer of praise, by definition, can never be unsuccessful. It's
mm-hmm.
another one of those, maybe you could call it little league prayers, softball prayers. But a prayer of gratefulness, a prayer of thankfulness to whether it's the land, the air, the water,
mm-hmm.
or to a creator deity or to a saint,
yes.
that can mm-hmm. never go amiss, because you haven't asked for anything. You've simply made a prayer of praise.
Yes.
So if prayer is uncomfortable to you, try, you know, being thankful, say, oh, gee, I'm so glad that the earth spins around slightly crookedly and we have springtime, because it's my favorite time of year.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very childish prayer of gratitude, but it is a prayer of gratitude. You're praying with gratitude that the earth spins around crookedly. Now just go a little farther out from that and ask, how did that come to be? Right? And
mm-hmm.
and you might be praying, oh, thank you for letting me live in the best or only of all possible mm-hmm. worlds. And you could go a little farther out from that. And at some point, some people will encounter a feeling that there is a creator and others will not. But it doesn't
mm-hmm.
matter exactly. If you don't encounter a creator, you might encounter series of coincidences, series of friendly people. You know, please put friendly people in my
yeah.
path today.
Mm-hmm. And we should point out, too, that there are traditions of just daily prayers and daily. Both Orthodox Judaism and Islam have prayers for everything. So prayers when you step out of the house,
yeah.
prayers when you encounter a rooster even, right? Like, there's all these prayers of praise for, like, daily activities, like prayers of thanks when you brush your teeth, et cetera, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find those in various traditions.
That's right, and you can find them at the AIR webpage, the Benefits of Reciting the Surahs and the Book of Psalms, both at AIR. Oh, well, this was great, and I know that in these troubled times, we may have offended some of our listeners, and I'm okay with it. There are people who really don't like the idea of prayer anymore. They just want to light a candle and do magic. But I believe that magic is more successful when you pray, and that prayer is more successful when you offer a vow. That's me. That's my way of teaching. All right. Well, let's turn this over to James.
Thank you, Ms. Kat. Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by Hoodoo Psychics, The first psychic line run entirely by hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted root worker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now we're going to take our client for today. They are a write-in client. And our client is Aya Asha in the chat, writing from Florida. And she writes, "My BFF is a very kind woman who goes out of her way to help others. Her last business failed after initial success due to this very reason, fraud, by a salesperson who I'd warned her about. The failure has turned out to be a blessing as her previous experience has landed her in an extremely lucrative yet ironically less stressful business opportunity. I want to know of any obstacles because she does attract envy and how I can help her hoodoo-wise since I love her dearly." Turning it over to you, Ms. Kat.
All right. I'm going to say hi to Aya. And Nagashiva says, "Now you know how it's Asha Aya. Well, then explain what that extra SH is doing in there, honey. Okay? Just saying. So, Aya, are you there? Oh, she's silent. Okay. Silent Aya. So what I wish I knew was the sign of the zodiac of the person we want to help. The Sha is silent. Great. Thank you. Lord have mercy. I'm going to do this first reading, but I would like to know that person's sign, if she can type it in. If not, I'll just go ahead and read on. All right. Are there any obstacles to this person's... Oh, no, not at all. Okay. First card I have is the Ace of Pentacles. So the Ace of Pentacles is a card that shows the hand of God handing a big coin to somebody, lucky recipient. And it's over a garden. Oh, and Aya says she's Aquarius. Okay. So in the garden, we have these little lilies. And around the perimeter of the garden, we have a hedge of red roses. The lilies are very chaste, pure plants, also tender. And the roses are very flamboyantly growing, very passionate plants, and also very defensive. This says, leaving the little garden that she was in, walking out the path, walking out through the arch of roses will be good to her. And I would recommend, I'm not going to be giving the root work, but I think Contraband will do that. But I'm going to say this is a card that shows a talisman. Da-da. It's a big coin. So she will have more money. She will have a talisman will be of help to her. And this card shows no obstacles. The next card, this is fantastic, it's really great, is the Ten of Pentacles. She will not only have money, she will have so much money, she'll be able to buy land, maybe even extra land. She'll have money to give to her children and grandchildren, and even to fund rescue pets or something. I mean, this is really a great card. Ten of Pentacles shows a Tree of Life pattern of golden coins all over. And this is really a fabulous card. Is Aya live right now?
Yes, I am.
Ah, there you are. Okay.
Thanks.
So how old is your friend?
She's 46.
46. So I'm looking at this card, and I'm seeing that there's three generations of people here, right? So this says she has the ability to build a fortune that will actually outlive her. And it's a very, very good card. There is a series of emblematic brocade flags on the wall here, and they have castles, and one of them has a balance beam scale of, you know, gold or silver to be weighed, and these coins are golden. So she should put some money aside for savings and for the future. I do not see obstacles or enemies here at all. And the third card for her is a card that is just superior. This is a very, very upbeat reading here. It is the Nine of Cups. And the Nine
wow.
of Cups, yeah. So the Nine of Cups shows a happy person with a banquet table with nine golden goblets on it inviting other people. She should always be welcoming to all types of people. This card is called the Welcome Table, and it's about making a place for people from all walks of life, all backgrounds, and sharing. She would do well to, in the place where she is, if there are any kind of events like, trade shows, banquets, pop-ups, whatever, any kind of events she would do well to work at. And in the playing card oracle, this would be the Nine of Hearts and is called the Wish Card. And the Wish Card is a card that the card reader is instructed to say, I know you made a wish at the beginning of this reading, but don't tell me your wish or it'll never come true. But your wish will come true if you don't tell me.
I
so there
crying.
You go.
I'm crying. She is such a wonderful, that's exactly who she is. She makes a place for everybody.
That's great.
I'm so happy for her.
Yeah, this is a wonderful, wonderful reading, and I really wish her all the best. I don't see any obstacles mm-hmm. holding her back. Let's turn this over and get another reading from Papa Newt.
Thank you, Miss Kat. Hello. I also got some very pleasant cards for your friend here. I'm reading with just the pit cards from the Tarot de Marseille, just one of these little experimentations and readings. They're kind of like playing cards in a sense, where here I do have the very first card as the Two of Batons. Batons is showing that nice work that, they have that repetition. There's that balance there that is being built of the new work that they're doing. And this is leading to the Three of Coins, which was now two is now three. It's a new growth of new coin that is coming to them. So this, which is great, these are great blessings, because the last card I have is the Six of Coins. The path is paved with gold. So this is a good time for them to take it and bless it. Learn from the past, of course. They've had some challenge. They fell down and it didn't work out, but now they have this wonderful new opportunity to grow from, where things are starting to grow. Things will start to stabilize here for them. And so just protecting what they're growing and what they're building is just a wonderful thing that they have. Bless it and move forward.
Well, thank you, Papa Newt, and thank you, Kat, Miss Kat.
Yeah, well, these are absolutely wonderful readings, and I would like to turn this over to Contraman and to see what he has to say in terms of a spell. And I just, as I said, what we've got here, we've got quite a few coin cards, and so take it away, Contraman.
Yeah, I have a couple ideas here that I think will work quite well. You've had some fantastic readings. And so we're not going to do a lot of cleanse this and cleanse that. We're going to go straight to talismanic work, and I'm going to teach you how to make a cool talisman that you can give as a gift to your friend to ensure their success in all things going forward. What you're going to do is get 10 coins of all denominations, so get a quarter, a nickel, dime, all these different things. Get 10 of them, but one of those should be a mercury dime. You can get these mercury dimes directly from Lucky Mojo. So you have one of those. You have 10 coins now, so this is reflecting the coins that we've seen in the reading. Place these all in some type of bowl, maybe like a glass bowl of sorts, and then wait until the moon is in Taurus. The moon is very favorable in Taurus. It's this exaltation. It's a great place of blessing, and it works such a fantastic, very simple election for success, blessings, particularly around business and wealth and whatnot. You're going to take some blessing incense, you're going to light it, and you're going to smoke the bowl, wafting the incense smoke over the coins, praying from your heart that it blesses all the coins, that it blesses wealth, that it brings down the blessings of the Lord. Then you're going to take a white candle at the same time while the incense is going. You're going to take a white candle, dress it with some Van Van oil, put it in a candle holder, and then you're going to place this in the bowl so that you have the bowl with the candle holder in the middle, and then the coins are all sort of around the candle holder, but still inside the bowl, right? So you want the candle holder sticking out, but the coins are still in the bowl. And you're going to burn this candle down for 3 days while praying. On the third day, you're going to take the candle holder out, whatever residual wax you have. You're going to bury it in your front yard at the foot of a tree if you have it. And then you're going to take a large lodestone and place it in the divot that was left by the candle holder. Put the lodestone there, and for the next month, you're going to sprinkle that lodestone once a day with a little bit of magnetic sand while praying that blessings come from all over the world, the blessings come from high and low, and that this person achieves all that they desire and they want. And you're going to do this until the moon returns back to Taurus. So almost a full month, about 28 days or so. You're going to wait until the moon returns back to Taurus. Once it returns back to Taurus, you're going to fish out that Mercury dime that was in there with all those coins. And get yourself a locket, a nice big silver locket, some beeswax. You're going to get yourself some alfalfa, some alkanet, some cinnamon, some bayberry, and five-finger grass and bay leaves. What you're going to do is assemble all of this, taking a pinch of each one of those herbs and rolling it into a small ball with beeswax. You are then going to take the beeswax and press it into the locket. You're going to press it into that locket. And then you're going to take that coin that you have worked and fixed and blessed for this whole month with all those other coins. You're going to take that mercury dime and you're going to press it into the beeswax so that it is stuck inside that locket. So the locket's going to have this beeswax that's got all these herbs, the cinnamon, the bayberry, the bay, the alfalfa, the alkanet, the five-finger grass, all of that is going to be in that beeswax. The coin is pressed on top of it, and then you're going to close that locket up. You're going to take some more blessing incense, and you're going to hold this locket above the incense, letting the smoke fumigate it fully, praying that this locket bring blessings, joy, goodness and success, and wealth and abundance to any who hold it. Now, you can decorate this locket whichever way you want. You might want to inscribe it with your friend's name. If you don't want your friend to know it's a talisman, you can even ask it to be sort of soldered closed. You can even do it yourself so that they can't open the locket in any way, shape, or form. The materials remain hidden, but you can decorate the outside of it with their initials or something beautiful, and then give it to them as a gift. They will wear this and tell them, this is a good luck locket. I want you to wear it in your new endeavor. What you're going to do is you're going to keep the rest of the coins in that bowl with the lodestone. And once a week, you're going to continue to feed that lodestone with those coins. And so long as you remain faithful, feeding that lodestone, wealth, fortune, goodness, and blessings will come to your friend as they hold the locket. This type of talismanic work is called a linked talisman, in which one person holds one portion of the magic while you hold the other, and so long as they hold it, you can continue to bring blessings and prayer into their life. It's a fantastic way of working. It really, really works well. I've done this before because I've seen the Ten of Coins come up before, and it's inspired that by that particular card and the Ace of Pentacles. I've seen those cards before, and it's inspired by this. We've done it for a client. It works wonders. It's a really fantastic, fantastic way of bringing blessings into a person. If you do this, I have no doubt that the good that you want this person to experience will come into their life. Just remember to keep faithful. Once a week, you're going to feed that lodestone with some magnetic sand, and you're going to keep it going, praying over it, and therefore extending your prayers and blessings to your friend. Let's see if our colleagues have anything further to add.
I have one thing to add. Don't try to solder it. You'll fry the herbs and melt the beeswax. But you can use, there's a kind of glue called liquid solder, and let's hope that's what Conjurman had in mind.
Yeah, I've actually soldered in a very carefully. I've soldered it myself. It doesn't melt the beeswax fully. It does soften it, but then it hardens right back up. But, yes, you can also use liquid soldering. You also don't need
yeah,
a solder.
Liquid steel, E6000 goop.
You can even use super glue. I'm not a big fan of super glue myself, but you can even use that. That's only if you need to hide it. If you don't need to hide it, you can simply say, hey, this is a good luck charm. Don't open it, and it'll keep good luck coming to you.
That's good. And I'll give you another idea, too. If you don't have a locket that's big enough to hold the dime, and of course you have to test that with the dime before you even start, you can make a little disc shape, a double disc of soft leather, and put it all in there and whip stitch it and make a little round coin-shaped piece of like deerskin. And it will be very small and be also used as a talisman. It is more... you know, tribal looking, not like a beautiful locket, but it's another way to work.
It's rustic, yeah. The reason
you
I
can also, I'm
going to
give you one more, wait a minute, hold on, I'm not done yet. There's one more thing. You can get hollowed out magician's coins. I know this sounds really crazy. They make hollow coins for magicians. You can get a hollowed out magician's coin, which can be, they fit tight. The dime will fit inside of it. They use them for tricks, you know, open, oh, it was a quarter, now it's a dime. Right, just follow me down this path, and it'll work really well. Okay, that was it.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, the reason
well,
I recommend lockets,
you
can
you
definitely
so very
use,
much.
You can definitely use these other techniques, and I think they're really, really great. One of the reasons I recommend a locket in this particular instance is because of the metal of silver is associated with the moon, and we're working with the moon in this particular. So we're building these sort of correspondences. It is tricky, though, as Kat points out, to find a locket of that size. I have. It just takes a little bit of internet shopping and looking around before you're able to find one. But if you can, I think these alternatives by Ms. Kat would work just as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're called shell coins or coin shells. And actually, back in the day, they were made of real silver money. You can actually, people in India sat there with tiny little tools and hollowed out these coins so that magicians can do tricks. Well, I think this is a wonderful way to work, and I really wish you well with your friend. So lucky to have a friend like you to do this kind of work. The group of herbs that Conjurman gave for good luck in money is excellent. There are other money formulas for money herbs. You can look in my book, Hoodoo Urban Root Magic, for money herbs. You can buy the Lucky Mojo money herbs blend and just grind it up a little finer. It contains most of those same things. And use your own inventiveness, but I think he gave a really good list of herbs. So,
very good. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to order everything today.
Well,
so.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling, and nice to hear your voice after mangling your name so many times. All right. We are going to move to the next portion of the show. I have been told that the bumper music is on. Let's cast an ear in its direction. There it is. Okay, network identification and tritone, followed by the free spell, says our NASA engineer.
LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LeFay, in syndication, Tuesdays. The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays. And The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, Thursdays, 4 to 5. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Some quick announcements about those upcoming shows on the LMC Radio Network. Monday, April 15th at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on Mystics and Mages and Magical Places with Reverend Art and myself will be another fine guest. And Tuesday, April 16th on the Crystal Silence League in syndication will be The Power of Spirit Day, April 16th on the Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron in syndication with Miss Elvira and Phoenix LeFay will be the topic of the goddess Lakshmi. And Wednesday, April 17th on the Now You Know Show, in syndication with Professor Porterfield, will be the topic of scriptural magic and the Buckeye Nut. And Thursday, April 18th at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, on The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Miss Elvira and Deborah Voith will be the topic of the use of discernment in spirit work. And now it's time for our free spell segment from our special guest, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska. Take it away, Papa Newt.
Thank you, Reverend James. So I got just with everything going on and sometimes things being such chaotic, I got a little spell utilizing the Wheel of Fortune just to help draw good fortune. So you can easily print out a picture of the Wheel of Fortune, be it the Rider-Waite version or the Tarot de Marseille, it's fine. You know, do prepare a light and light a white candle that has been anointed with holy oil. Take a moment to reflect on the image of that wheel. You know, imagine it turning, you know, seeing the movement of the ebb and flow of good fortune. Because sometimes somebody's on top, sometimes somebody's falling down, and somebody's coming back up again. You know, also take the moment to see yourself in the center of this flow of the ups and downs, and just get that in your mind as you then take that holy oil and anoint the top of the wheel and pray like Psalms 24, grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. Then anoint the right and read Psalms 37:5, commit to the way of the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Again, the holy oil anointing the bottom of the wheel, reading Psalms 5:12. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Lastly, the left you anoint and pray Psalms 23, verse 1, where it just says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Sprinkle some powdered bayberry down onto the Wheel of Fortune image and lay a candle holder with a golden chime candle that has been anointed with good luck oil. While the candle is burning, spend time focusing on the flame and the image of the wheel. The candle is set in the center. And while you are focused on that, pray Psalms 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Once that candle has finished, you can then take this image and utilize it as a talisman to carry with you in your wallet, to carry on you in your pocket. It's just a nice little paper talisman to help aid you in drawing good fortune and in stand in the middle of the ebb and flow of life so we can have more good things come to us and also negate some of the not-so-nice things that can come because it's the roller coaster of life. We all signed up for this.
Wow. Very, very, very nice. I always love your prayerful work. You bring such thought to it, and it's really good.
Beautiful.
Really nice.
Beautiful, yeah, beautiful. And deep.
Yeah. And how unique it is to mix the Wheel of Fortune with a psalm. Well, this goes to what we were talking about earlier, and I do want to say something about that. There are people who are very abstemious about their religious practices and believe that to mix even a movie with religion, much less a tarot card, is sacrilege. And I like your flexible approach. It speaks to an easier time when people weren't dividing and finally dividing and then hating everything outside of what they divided.
Right.
I love it. I think it's really beautiful.
Thank you.
And Hound and Hearth says, move over, Pat, say Jack. Okay. And Nagashiva says, one person's sacrilege is another person's observance. Amen to that.
Yes. And I have to say, it took me a long time to get to this place of finding that peace within the foundations of what I was brought up to, but I've also, in my experience, have just added on to that foundation. Sometimes I may not stand in this dream. I might go up to this dream to work what I need to work, but I found a beautiful harmony amongst it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that also brings up a whole project that I've had in mind. I'm just going to throw this out. I have a tendency to have a kind of a musical jukebox going in my head all the time, and I made an attempt at one point to put a popular song, doesn't matter when it was popular, just popular song, could be from the Renaissance, could be from last year, for every tarot card. And but then, you know, you could also put a prayer to every tarot card. And I don't know that anyone has ever done this. So this is just a casting my bread out on the waters. If you, young occultist, hearing this, decide you want to put a psalm to every tarot card, give it a try. See what happens. Maybe you get two psalms because you have 150 psalms and 78 cards. But it would be wonderful to have something that was meaningful that had psalms that connected to the tarot cards. If you could, maybe you can't. But I love the idea.
Yeah.
And, of course, yes, I did say song, not psalm. But that's because, well, psalms are songs. But no, I'm the one who, like, every time I see the Eight of Pentacles, I start singing, you can make it if you try. I mean, it's just those songs come out. I'm getting so old, these songs are old now, and my younger clients go, I don't get it. What was that? You know. All right, well, there's our music, and we'll go on to some other songs. But how about we give it over to James, make some announcements, and then we'll come back and have a few words, and then we'll say goodbye.
Thank you, Miss Cat and Conjure Man, and thank you, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when we will have Deacon Millet of FourAltars.com in the high desert of California, bringing us the topic of spells and socks and wash spells with socks and washcloths. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Cat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjure Man at conjuremanconsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Reverend James, joining you from folkconjure.com in North Carolina. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thank you. Just to answer a couple of questions here, are the songs a mix of moderns and oldies? Good question.
A very good question.
Remember I mentioned the welcome table? Just look up, I'm going to sit at the welcome table by the Memphis Sanctified Singers. It's all there. All right. Maybe I will put out a playlist, my tarot playlist. Somebody's going to say, do it, and then I'm not going to be able to find time to do it. All right. Tarot jukebox. All right. All right. Well, I hope everybody is having a wonderful springtime. I'm so glad that Iran concluded their war with Israel after a mere 200 drones and missile shots. What a relief that was. We were all expecting it to get much worse, but it got better. All right. Good night, all.
Good night, all.
Bye-bye.